Let's open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. On Sunday nights, we are spending some time in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is such an encouraging book. As you know, it's filled with divine wisdom that will help us live the kind of life that brings glory to God. Christianity is all about making good choices. The book of Proverbs will help us make good choices. Again, choices that will make a difference. Choices that will help us bring glory to God. As we stop and think about the choices that we make in this life, the Bible is filled with warnings. In Acts chapter 20, verse number 31, the Apostle Paul calls for the elders at Ephesus. In Acts 20, verse number 27, Paul says, "For I am not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." Paul proclaimed the whole counsel of God to the brethren at Ephesus. And in proclaiming the whole counsel of God, we would see in verse number 31, Paul says, warning everyone night and day with tears. As Paul worked with the brethren there at Ephesus, he spent a considerable amount of time teaching the brethren, warning the brethren. As I said, the Bible is filled with warnings. Here in Proverbs chapter 1, and throughout our study tonight, we're going to notice some of those warnings that we find in Scripture. And here in Proverbs 1, Solomon warns his son about the environment that he surrounds himself with. The environment that he surrounds himself with. Now in Proverbs chapter 1, I want to begin reading in verse number 10. And we're actually going to read down through verse number 15. "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, 'Come with us, let us wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse." My son, notice the warning again. My son, verse number 15, like verse number 10. "Walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." Again, Solomon is warning his son about this evil environment and how this evil environment could have an evil influence on him. Throughout the Bible, we see such warnings like 2 Corinthians 6, verse number 14, where Paul says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion does light have with darkness? None at all." That serves as a warning concerning our environment. Earlier in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse number 33, the Apostle Paul says, "Evil communication corrupts good morals." Here Solomon is reminding his son that he is going to be enticed by sinners to go down the wrong path. Don't go down that path. You'll notice in verse number 13 the motive behind their evil. The reason why they're wanting to take advantage of others. "So we will fill our houses with spoil." They were driven by covetousness. That's what caused these individuals, these sinners, in verse number 10, to be so corrupt. Here the context has to do with taking advantage of others for gain. And those that were wanting to take advantage of others were inviting others to do the same. Solomon says, don't do that. Don't go down that path. Avoid that kind of influence, that kind of environment. You know, when we stop and think about that, it should cause us to think about our own environment. Who do we yoke ourselves with? In Psalm 119, verse number 63, the psalmist says, I'm a companion of all them that fear Thee, of them that keep Thy commandments. You see the wisdom in that, don't you? In other words, if we surround ourselves with people like this, in Proverbs 1, verses 10 and following, it won't be long we're joining hands. We're going down that evil path. That's why we see Moses warning the people in Exodus chapter 23, verse number 2, don't follow a multitude to do evil. Avoid that evil influence. Think about how the book of Psalms begins. In Psalm 1, verse number 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seateth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 20, Solomon says that when we walk with wise men, we will be wise. Those are the individuals that we should be yoked with. Wise people. People who fear God. People who are striving to keep His commandments. Striving to keep His commandments. Because it's going to encourage us to keep the commandments of God. And I promise you, whether young or old, this will make a difference in your life. If you want to be stronger spiritually speaking, if you want to be spiritually focused, I would encourage you to surround yourself, to insulate yourself with those kind of individuals. The kind of individuals that will encourage you to do what is right. Individuals who stand for righteousness. But we will all be tempted in this area to follow a multitude to do evil. I know our young people are challenged in this area. Maybe they're challenged more in this area at a younger age than when we get older. But that temptation is always there. And God's Word warns us again in verse number 15, walk not thou in the way with them. In other words, here's the warning. Turn down the invitation to do evil. And dear friends, sometimes that is not easy to do. And we're about to see a good example of what I'm talking about here in just a few minutes. But here we're encouraged to turn down the invitation to do evil. When the world and its worldly influence is pulling on you and tugging on you, again, God encourages us to turn down the invitation to do evil. Don't go down that path. And God even warns us about going down that path. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, the Scriptures will say, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Notice the warning. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But notice the encouragement. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. I'm thankful for the passages that warn us about the environment that we surround ourselves with. I wish when I was a younger person, I paid more attention to this because I realized that this can be a real struggle, a real temptation. when we are around these kind of individuals. Remember, Christianity is about making good choices. I'm not saying that it's wrong to have acquaintances with those that are outside of the body of Christ. That's not what I'm saying. We should have acquaintances with those who are outside of Christ. And it should be our goal to bring them into the family of God. To have a positive and good influence on them. I'm talking about being yoked, and there's a huge difference. Kind of like Jonathan and David. You remember how the Scriptures describe that relationship? Jonathan and David, their souls were knit together. You see that companionship that those two individuals have. And I'm encouraging us to develop those companionships within the body of Christ. To build those friendships. Because when we do that, we're going to be a source of encouragement to one another. I'm striving to walk in the light. You're striving to walk in the light. And we encourage one another. We exhort one another. As we see in Hebrews chapter 10, 24 through 25. Well, as we continue to look at the book of Proverbs. And we're going to switch gears here, but it still has to do with the same idea. Here we are warned about our environments. The environment that we surround ourselves with. Well, as we continue to read this context, we are going to be warned about the immoral woman. The immoral woman. In fact, Solomon warns his son over and over and over again about the immoral woman. And at first it might capture your attention. Oh, why would Solomon do this? Well, as you know, this is a major problem in our world today. Now we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 5. But to help you see the point, again, this has to do with our environment. And we need to be aware of that kind of environment. We need to be aware of immorality across the board. But here in Proverbs 5 through 7, we're warned about the immoral woman. And here Solomon spends so much time, the Holy Spirit, guiding Solomon on this subject. But to show you the seriousness of what I'm talking about, turn to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. Now we're going to go back and we're going to read several passages. And I would encourage you to really think about these passages and allow these passages to really build you up in this area. Remember, the devil is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Listen to what this passage says. At the end of Proverbs chapter 7, again, he's still talking about the influence of the immoral woman. Again, the influence of an immoral woman. And listen to what Solomon says in verse number 26. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. As you know, this is a major problem in the church. This happens in the church. We know it goes on in the world. This kind of evil influence. When I see warnings like this, it reminds me to be on guard. It doesn't matter where I am. I need to be on guard. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12, Paul says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know, it saddens me to say this. Rivers of water run down my eyes because of this truth that I'm about to present. Many gospel preachers have cheated on their spouse because they found themselves counseling women on their own, starting off in their office, starting off with a conversation, and that conversation continued to develop. These are things that we must pay close attention to. Many strong men have been slain by her. Now that's the point that we're making. But go back, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 5. And we're going to spend some time just reading some verses here in Proverbs chapter 5 and in Proverbs chapter 6 and also Proverbs chapter 7. In Proverbs chapter 5, Solomon encourages his son, again, to attend unto wisdom. And notice the language there in verse number 1. To bow down thy ear to understanding. I believe the idea is this. Pay close attention to what God is saying. I believe that is true anytime we open the Word of God. But I think even with this subject, pay close attention. Be aware of this. And then beginning at verse number 3, Solomon begins to talk about the immoral woman. In fact, the King James, verse number 3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Again, Solomon is talking about her flirtatious spirit that she has. And that begins with her words. She says things that will get your attention, that will cause you to want to listen and to look upon her. As you continue to read, we see that Solomon, beginning at verse number 15, encourages faithfulness. And I love verses 15 through 19 because, again, in a figurative way, we see that the book of Proverbs is encouraging couples to be faithful to one another and to guard and to protect their marriage. I remember years ago, we were reading through the Bible on Sunday nights, and the young men were doing scripture reading, and I'll never forget it. One young man read this section, and he kind of blushed when he read it. And you'll see what I'm talking about when we read this. Drink waters, verse 15. Drink waters out of thy own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Again, figurative language for one's wife. Don't miss the point. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine, listen to it, own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. You know, the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, is probably some of the finest marital counseling that you will ever find. We talk a lot about the book of Proverbs being a parenting manual. The Bible is also a marriage manual. What God has joined together, let not man separate, put asunder. But I'll tell you, with any relationship, it doesn't matter if you're talking about your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your children, your relationship with your brethren, and even your relationship with God, it takes a lot of work on your part. Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. With any relationship, it takes a tremendous amount of work to have that healthy relationship. And I believe that's exactly what Solomon is encouraging or reminding his son about here in Proverbs chapter 5. You see the encouragement, 5:15 through 19, but you see the warning, verses 3 and following. Now if you would, continue to read with me. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, as I said, when you read Proverbs 5 through 7, you're going to see this overall idea, this overall thought, this warning concerning the immoral woman. Beware of that environment. Understand that that environment still exists. It is still out there. And so beware of that. Now read with me, if you would, Proverbs chapter 6, and we'll begin at verse number 23. And I'm beginning at verse number 23 for a reason. Relationships will get much better and much stronger if we will listen to God. I'm convinced of that. I believe that with all of my heart. If I'm struggling in a relationship, more than likely there's something that I'm not doing right. There's something that I need to work on and do better in. And it's an attitude that we must always have, even when it comes to our relationship with God. And so Solomon begins here in verse 23, reminding us, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. God's Word illuminates. God's Word helps us see things for what they really are. And I appreciate that about God's Word. And I want to welcome that in my life, and I know you want to welcome that in your life. And listen to what he says in verse 23. And reproofs of instruction. We may think differently. Improves of instruction, Solomon says, are the way of life. That correction that we talked about this morning, that instruction that we talk about from God's Word, we need to welcome it. When God corrects us, when God rebukes us, don't run from the correction. Don't ignore the correction. Welcome the correction in every aspect of your life. And listen, you'll walk in wisdom. That's what we're emphasizing from the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is full of divine wisdom that will help us walk and live in wisdom. The wisdom that is from above that James talks about. Now beginning at verse number 24. To keep thee from the, here she is again, evil woman. From the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust, verse number 25. Lust not after her beauty. And notice where, in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. We're familiar with the wink. We're familiar with the eye wink and how that can get somebody's attention. And here Solomon says, don't lust after her beauty. Notice where? In your heart. This reminds me of what Jesus warns us about in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 28. For whosoever looks and lusts upon a woman commits adultery already in his heart. You ever thought about what Jesus is talking about there in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 28? Later on in Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, Jesus would say, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications. Sin begins in the heart. When we set our heart upon iniquity, we understand that whatever in the heart is going to come out. The point that Jesus is making is if you are continuing to look and you allow those evil thoughts to germinate in your mind, the language of James 1, 14 and 15 as it relates to temptation. James says, when lust conceives, what does it do? It brings forth sin. Jesus says, if that's the way you are looking upon a woman and inviting those thoughts, you're not casting down those thoughts, the language of 2 Corinthians 10 through 5. You're not waging war against those thoughts. You are continuing to look. You're continuing to invite those thoughts. Jesus says, if you do that, it won't be long. You will find yourself committing adultery. But adultery, fornication, it starts in the heart and it works outwardly. Again, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In Proverbs chapter 4, earlier Solomon says we should protect the heart. In Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence. Protect the heart. For out of it are the issues of life. Question, how do we do that? How do we protect our heart in what we're talking about tonight? How do I keep from being influenced by the world, the evil environment? How do I keep this from happening? Psalm 119 verse 11 answers the question. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You see, the Word of God is a mighty weapon that teaches us so much about temptation, that warns us about situations like this, so that we can be properly prepared, so that we can wage war against these things, that we can use the Word of God to defend ourselves. Don't lust after her, Solomon says. Again, lust not after her beauty in thy heart. Jesus said again, if we do that, we have committed adultery already in our heart. Look at what Solomon says later on in chapter 6. Read with me verse number 32. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, and he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. You can also jot down 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. Now, the good news is, when you stop and think about fornication, you think about adultery, we see that these are sins that can be forgiven. But it doesn't ever take away the consequences of sin. And so many times I think we may lose sight of that in the choices, the bad choices that we make in this life. Every one of us in here have made bad choices. I know I've made bad choices, and I know that I will probably suffer the consequences of those choices for the rest of my life, but God helps me work through those things, just like God helps you work through those things. But I'm thankful that the guilt, the condemnation of those bad choices, that's been washed away by the precious blood of Christ. I can learn to work through the consequences. Don't ever forget about the consequence of sin. And you see the same thing here. The consequences of giving in to the immoral woman. Proverbs chapter 5, warning. Proverbs chapter 6, warning. Now read with me Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. What's interesting is, as we read Proverbs chapter 7, it begins much like chapter 5 and chapter 6. Another reminder. Pay attention to God. God knows what He is saying. God knows what He is talking about. Dear friends, this is real stuff. Remember 1 Corinthians 10 verse number 12. Don't ever think this won't happen to you just because you're an elder in the church, just because you're a deacon in the church, just because you're a preacher in the church, just because you've been a faithful member for 20 or 30 years. Don't ever think that this couldn't happen to you. That's the nature of a warning. Understand, the devil is trying to make this happen. He would love for this to happen, to see you taken away from the Lord. And so Solomon says again, verse 7, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee." And I like what Solomon says here in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 2. "Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye." Keep God's mighty word at the forefront as you go through this life. Young people, keep the word of God at the forefront. Young couples, keep the word of God at the forefront in your marriage, in your life, in every matter. It will make you a better person. It will make you a stronger person. It will help you live in a way, again, that brings glory and honor to God. And it will help you strengthen every relationship that we can experience here on this earth if we will pay close attention to God. But then Solomon begins to talk about the subject again. The subject has to do with the immoral woman. And you'll see this again in verse number 5. In verse number 5, we'll begin there. "That they may keep thee," that is the commandments that we just talked about, "that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and she went the way to her house." What Solomon is doing now is describing a real-life situation, we might say. Think about the imagery. Here's a man void of understanding, and notice where he's at. He's at the wrong place at the wrong time. He's on the streets. And not just on the streets. He's on the streets at night. Now, if we have any common sense, we understand the practicality. We understand that at night, a lot of bad things happen. And there's probably a good reason why we shouldn't be on the streets at night. Now, if you're hunting axes at night with spotlight, that's a different story. You can stay up all night and do that. But to be on the streets here for this reason is not a good thing. Sixth Street. Oh, we're familiar with Sixth Street. You drive down Sixth Street during the day, it's not a whole lot going on. But I promise you there's a different environment at night. And that's just one example. That's the scene that we see here in Proverbs chapter 7. You know, Paul draws on this terminology in the book of 1 Thessalonians. He talks about us being children of the light and not children of darkness. Oh, there's a good reason Paul is doing that. We are of the day. And Paul even says, at night we should be sleeping. There's a lot of common sense with that. We should be resting. We shouldn't be on the streets. There's a young man that's on the streets, and he's going to get himself in trouble here. Continue to read with me. Verse 8, "Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house." As you read through this, there are obviously some things implied. He knew where she was. He knew what corner to go to. In verse 9, "In the twilight, in the evening, the black and dark night, behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart." Write down 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. Paul talks about the attire of a godly woman. And Paul's whole point in that context of 1 Timothy chapter 2 is to promote modest apparel. To promote godliness in how we present ourselves to others. We don't want to wear things and present to present ourselves in a way that will cause others to stumble. Paul spends quite a bit of time in that context talking about the conduct of men and women in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Well, you can see her attire in verse number 9. It's not good attire. It's not modest attire. No, she's dressing in a way to attract this kind of person, to attract this kind of lifestyle. This is going to develop in verse number 11 and following. Listen to it. She's loud and stubborn. She's obnoxious. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. What's implied? She should be at home. She should be at home with her family, with her husband. You're going to see later on, her husband is not at home. Verse 12, now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Again, you see the flirtatious, the enticing spirit that she has. Therefore came I forth to meet thee. I'm out here to see you. I've been waiting for you diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. It's not hard to find, is it? Even in our world. What we see here is not hard to find. All you have to do is go out on the streets and you'll see this same thing. Verse 16, I decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and alloys and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. Look at verse number 19. For the good man is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. Why don't you come over? Why don't we visit? Nobody is at home. Verse 20. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. What's the idea? He's going to be gone for a while. You don't have to worry. Nobody will know. It will just be us. Isn't it interesting here in the book of Proverbs? We see the warning, Proverbs 5, Proverbs 6, even in Proverbs 6. But here's the situation. Here's a scene that Solomon is describing to his son. In verse 21, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. The idea is they have gone too far. They're at the point of no return. That gives you a deeper appreciation for Joseph when Potiphar was tempting Joseph. Remember, he didn't stick around. Joseph fled. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul is writing to Timothy, a young man in the faith. And you'll see these three points in 1 Timothy 5. Flee, follow, and fight. Timothy, there's a time that you need to flee, that you need to get out of town. There's a time where you need to stand and fight, and you need to follow after righteousness and godliness. Verse number 22. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Now watch verse 23 because it's an interesting verse. I looked at the Hebrew because it's an interesting verse in the idea of what is Solomon saying. Till a dart strike through his liver. Today it wouldn't be a dart. It would be a shotgun or a 45, we might say. Till a dart strike through his liver as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Now, is this speaking in a spiritual sense? Verse 23. Or is it speaking in a physical sense? Well, I believe it has to do with both. You remember the good man? He's not at home. The idea is, though, He catches them. He finds them. And you can only imagine what that would do to a man and what it would cause that man to do. And it does happen. And it will probably continue to happen. Here, this person is now suffering the consequences. But then stop and think about it from the spiritual aspect, and you can make this observation with fornication, verse number 23. Whether you look at it physically or spiritually speaking, it will kill you. Fornication will kill you. Verse number 23. Proverbs 6, verse number 32. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. And Paul in that chapter talks about fornication. The body is not for fornication. That's not why God created you. So you can go around and commit fornication. That's not the purpose of the body. In fact, people that live like that, they experience a lot of diseases. We would do well to pay close attention to God's Word. Proverbs 13, verse 15. The way of the transgressor is hard. You look at all the diseases people have today because of what we're talking about. Again, fornication, it will kill you. It will destroy you. And then as we started off with, in verse number 26, Solomon says, many strong men have been slain by her. Tonight we've talked about the kind of environment to avoid. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 5 through 7. Believe me, both environments are out there in the world. And those environments will continue to exist as long as we're on this earth. This is the kind of environment that God wants us to avoid. And we can avoid this kind of environment if we will pay close attention to God's Word, realizing, you know what? This applies to me. Don't leave here thinking, well, that doesn't apply to me. No, it does. Everything that we talked about, it applies to you. It applies to me. God loves us. And I'm thankful that we have God's Word. And I'm thankful for the protection that we can find in God's Word, because God wants us to make good choices. Let's pay close attention to everything God's Word says so that we can make the kind of choices that will bring glory and honor to Him. The lesson is yours tonight. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation for any reason, we encourage you to do so as we stand and as we sing.